It is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. I think I have had to say that over and over and over again this week, even when it was not well with my soul. Please join me in the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verses 17 through 27. These are the moments when stepping up into the pulpit, when you know what's happening outside of the church, is not as easy as it seems. And I have to admit that I have been distracted all week, probably like many of you. But this passage this morning straightened me up. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them with their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord of mercy and grace, creator of life, I praise you in all that you do. We praise you in all that you do. And this morning, Lord God, we all pray, but especially me, that a mighty word is spoken here today and it is pleasing unto you. Give a word of hope, O God, and comfort to us all through these present days. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all pray. And all of God's children said, amen. Thank you, Pastor Ashley. I didn't introduce myself. I'm Reverend Sheila Bates. I'm the lead pastor here at Cokesbury Church, and I am grateful for our 920 band and our choir and Dr. Durr. I'm grateful for our sound crew and our audio crew, which is sound actually, and video and all of the things. And I'm grateful for Pastor Ashley for giving that wonderful, wonderful prayer. After worship and praying, I feel we should all just go home and y'all can just continue to have your coffee. But I know that I would receive comments and texts and emails and all kinds of messages. And so we will continue forth in God's name. So as you sit in your home, I want you to look around your space and tell me what you see framed. Go ahead and type it in the comments if you want. If your home is like mine, you will see photos of loved ones. You will see photos of vacations, of funny caricatures, objects and friends, mirrors and paintings. Maybe you need to think a little differently. And maybe your window frames your neighborhood and you can see the weather outside. Maybe it's your device or your television that frames this beautiful sanctuary in your screen. I just want you to know that I do go back and look at these comments, and for the most part, I think I have prepared myself for just about anything. But this morning, I want you to understand that framing is everything. Framing, whether it is a picture of a loved one or a brilliant painting, has the opportunity, listen very carefully, has the opportunity to give the object in the frame context. It gives it a sense of depth and layers, while leading our eyes to a focal point and a chance for our imaginations to be piqued. Maybe the frames that hold your memories are also some of those memories that are humorous. Maybe there are emotional or compelling stories from your life. See, these empty pews, this sparse pulpit, frames the narrative of what is happening in our community, as well as the world, in this very moment. So on this fifth Sunday in Lent, as we worship together with the expectation of hearing a word of hope and encouragement from our living God, to be comforted and filled with peace by the Holy Spirit, to be taught by Jesus Christ, let us not forget our narrative is framed by these words. Christ is for us. Today's text message frames our narrative and focuses on the power and proclamation and serves as a truly authenticating mark of Jesus' humanity in John's gospel. In verses 25 and 26, Jesus says to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who believes in me will never die." Then he goes on to say, "Do you believe this?" Church, that truly is the question this morning. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life? Do you believe that those who believe in him, even though they will die, will live? Do you believe that everyone who lives and believes in Jesus will never die? This is the query that is framing the narrative for many of us at this very moment. As we can share concerns for friends, concerns for our community, concerns for businesses, for families, for loved ones, as we witness numbers rising and begin to end messages and greetings with, "Stay safe." That's my new observation for this week. Week one was social distancing. Week two, sheltered in place. Week three, staying safe. See, it is not a coincidence that our lectionary passage frames the narrative for an emotional roller coaster ride. This passage focuses on the emotions of a grieving community. It focuses on the request of fearful sisters, disciples who display courage and fear, skepticism by the Jews, and basically how life has the tendency to throw unexpected and devastating curveballs. The story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead is a familiar one. One that never grows old. It is a story of new life, a story of resurrection, a story that brings us hope and breathes new meaning into dry and desolate bones. See, the bulk of our narrative focuses on Jesus' conversations in preparation for raising Lazarus from the dead. Jesus is talking with the disciples in verses 7 through 16. He is speaking with Martha in verses 20 through 27. He is speaking with Mary and with the Jews in verses 28 through 37. But the text tells us very early on and shows us that Jesus loves Martha, Mary, and their brother Lazarus. See, when Lazarus becomes ill, his sisters send word for him to come. Go with me to verse 6. That after having heard that Lazarus was ill, Jesus stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. I have to admit, after a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, like a month like we've had, I found this passage a little hard to process. So even as we frame the narrative, we should stop and pause here just for a moment. So I ask you to ponder with me. How many times have you prayed that Jesus would come and quickly rescue you or even our world from a situation? How many times does it seem as if Jesus is lingering somewhere else? How many times have you felt that God is absent? But even in the extent, in the context of this story, we need to understand that Jesus may linger, but he has not forgotten about us. On his arrival, Jesus found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, I grew up with 4 brothers, and some of them are probably watching. And I remember the days where they would go about 4 or 5 days without taking a shower. So you can only imagine what happens to someone who has been in the grave for 4 days. But we have to understand that some Jews had a belief that a person's soul would stay around the body for 3 days. But after the third day, the soul would depart from the body. And the 4 days may have been a statement by Jesus that Lazarus was really and truly dead. There was no life in him. So here, verses 32 through 35. When Mary came where Lazarus was and Jesus saw him, her, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And in verse 35, Jesus began to weep. I said this story is an emotional roller coaster ride. But it is a ride that gives us permission to be all up in our feels as we journey in the faith. See, Jesus invites us to not bury our emotions in hard and grief-stricken times. Jesus invites us to weep together, to mourn together, to grieve together as a community. See, when he saw the Jews, when he saw Mary and Martha weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. So he wept. I've heard a story about a young minister who was serving his first communion, and at some point his mind went blank, and after a long pause he yelled, "Jesus wept," and then he continued with communion. As many of us clergy have a tendency to believe, he thought he had blown it. He was embarrassed. But after the service, one of his members said to him, "When you quoted that verse, 'Jesus wept,' that was so meaningful to me because it made me suddenly realize that the healer of our pain is also the feeler of our pain." See, most of our Christian journey is a constant battle between fear, anxiety, and courage. There is no rationale because all of these emotions encompass our faith and who we are. This is what we see when we frame the narrative. We see that Christ is also the feeler of our pain and the foundation of our courage. See, Jesus was moved by compassion because he saw the people around him hurting. It was not only a personal grief because he loved Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, but it was a collective grief, where he witnessed what was happening in the community. Jesus wept for the people he loved and was called to die for. This narrative strikes a chord in my heart. I believe Jesus is expressing through his actions what happens to one happens to us all. This narrative is about us as believers and truly framing the question, do you believe God has the power to resurrect? Do you believe God brings back life, transforms lives, systems, and situations, and will make all things new? Because no matter how off track our life gets, there is hope in the resurrection. Because nothing is impossible for God. As Christians, we are called to believe in the cyclical power of resurrection. Not just the physical resurrection of Lazarus that we witness in the gospel, but the resurrection that is central to who we are, meaning we are comforted and confronted with the possibility that our world, our physical beings, our families, our communities, our systems do not have to remain bound in the clutches of death, and that we are all urged to nurture and strengthen one another. Henry Nouwen once said, "What we see and like to see is cure and change. But what we do not see and do not want to see is care." See, care is the participation in the pain, the solidarity in the suffering, the sharing in the experiences of brokenness, and still cure without care is as dehumanizing as a gift given with a cold heart. Jesus announces in this text that our world is definitively under God's care, God's power, and God's unwavering grace. This text, whether you believe this miracle happened or not, speaks to how Jesus stood with his believers, how he stood with his friends, and how he stood with those who were against him, as they all experienced emotions and conflicts together. Our emotions are real. And so are the emotions in this gospel. Today, Thomas had courage in this text, but later he will have doubt. Jesus stands with our questions, our anxieties, our skepticism, and even our accusations, and shows us that there's something about this mix of feelings that seem to contradict what we believe. We may feel as if we look vulnerable and weak, but in reality, these emotions are intricate to our faith walk, but it does not mean we lack faith. These are emotions that are all a part of our journey in Christ. How else would we feel the need? How else would we have compassion? How else would we go out and serve one another? How else would we weep with our neighbor as we step into these vulnerable spaces with the hope that God will indeed resurrect new life into our dry space? In verse 43 and 44, we witness Jesus cry out in a loud voice for Lazarus to come forth. And Lazarus emerges with his grave clothes still on. But Jesus turns to the people. He turns to the community. And he says, "You unbind him. And you let him go." See, we all have a role to play in this resurrection hope. We need each other as we walk through this together, unified toward wholeness. People are not disposable. And our wholeness comes from the ways in which we show up for one another, the way we call and text, the way we pray and send notes of love, the way we worship and find new ways to serve. We need to be certain that people are heard, but they are not forgotten. We need to understand that it comes from us. And it is up to us that people know that we care as we acknowledge that we are more than our temporary feelings of heightened fear and anxiety. See, we are framing the narrative of people who have resurrection hope and a God who sent his son to die for us. Even in the midst physical death, the collapse of systems, grief and heartache, the undoing of what is familiar and leaving behind what we have always known, we acknowledge in this moment there is hope in a God who continues to breathe new life, who continues to transform, who continues to walk with each of us, who continues to hold our hands in the midst of all that is happening, and still breathes life and hope into each of us. It is up to us as a community, whether you're 1,000 miles away, right around the corner, to spread this resurrection hope of who Jesus Christ is and how Christ is for us. We have framed the narrative this morning that all those emotions that you're feeling, it's a part of the walk in our faith. And it is not from a lack of faith. It is because we are human then God is with us. This is how we serve one another. This is how we grieve. But as we walk forward in Christ, let us acknowledge that not only is God with us as believers, God is with those who do not believe. And God's grace is sufficient. So yes, shelter in place. Text your friends. Email those whom you love. And let them know that Christ is with them and that they are not alone. So you go with God, knowing that God has already gone before you. And you know that it is up to us to unbind, to take off the grave clothes in our communities that are hurting, in parts of our nation that are hurting. It is up to us. So when you write words, make sure they're words of affirmation and encouragement, and not words that will continue to bind people in death. We walk as Easter people in resurrection hope because Christ is with us. So together, let us pray the Lord's Prayer, knowing that Christ is with us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen.